Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer and move into our worship today. We have our full first day on the month, first Sunday of the month, where we have communion too. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Word of God, which brings us to Jesus Christ, our Savior and friend. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him. In His precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's begin this morning with a hymn, and we'll sing two hymns, and then later one with our communion. So, what are we going to sing?
The hymn is He Lives. He Lives, 438. If you have a song book, please turn to one and join us.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. The day of His appearing will come as soon as He lives. Will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart.
And our second one?
Keep standing.
Oh, Mr. Morgan.
Cue it up. It's going to be hymn
number 33, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Praise the Lord. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Okay, let's...
You on mute?
Okay, you want to do that? It made me turn it off to sing, though.
Amen.
Amen. What is that? Amen. Oh, no. Okay. Let's talk about some prayers. Is there anyone who knows somebody that needs a prayer? We all need prayer. But do we want to ask others to join us in that prayer? Yes.
Marcos and Cecilia Hernandez have COVID, and Amber and Avi have COVID.
My goodness. So do they think it's something to be passed around?
Yeah, apparently everybody thinks it's something to be passed around.
How severe are they?
They're not in the hospital or anything. They're both in the beginning stages, and we're hoping we get it beat down and done with quickly here.
People, let's be in prayer. Please. Now, your granddaughter,
Amber
has five children now. Five children, and supposed to do that and take care of herself being sick. So let's be in prayer for them at this time. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes.
It's not a prayer request, it's an update on Karen, my daughter. She is doing much better. She's been able, starting to use her left arm and having physical therapy, but doing much better. And she was negative on COVID, so she's over COVID. Good. The whole family's over COVID. Now I'm just getting through the stroke.
Good. All right, so please be in prayer for Karen and family. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
A couple of things. One, Mason Foster, who is one of Ben's buddies, his father passed away a week ago, 10 days ago, from COVID. And Foster is 19, 20 years old maybe, but his dad passed. Please be in prayer for that family. And then secondly, we are going to have a college retreat for college-age students January 6th through the 8th. And so please be in prayer for that. It's going to be up at Texoma Youth Camp.
Okay.
We're hoping to have, over that Christmas break, a big group of college kids come together and have a weekend of worship and study and fellowship up at camp.
What are we going to work on? What will I be teaching?
The theme is follow me.
Follow me.
So that's not me, by the way. So just discipleship helping them find how to go about finding a church in their local areas where they're going to school, how to continue to Bible study, how to start a Bible study.
Very good.
Things as well. So.
something.
Okay. All right, any other prayer? Yes.
So I have an announcement in relationship.
Okay, that's good.
We're having a fundraiser between now and the 23rd of October. We're selling poinsettias.
Okay, poinsettias.
They're $15 a pot, each pot, and they're three different colors. And we'll deliver them near the first week of December. So you can fill this out, or you can get online. Terry's going to put one online.
Okay.
Either way. These will be around, and I'll be around for...
Will Phil come in and pick them up for us, plant them?
Well, he's going to come in and place them in
our home. Yeah, we're going to have to plant these.
Oh, okay. Any other prayer requests? Anything? Yes.
Not a prayer request, but a praise. Thank you for people who have been praying for me. I finally retired from my corporate life.
I'm jealous.
How do you get to retire, a young person like you?
Something to do with the lottery, maybe?
have a providing husband.
All right. That's good. All right. Well, we're happy for you. Yes, sir.
Herman, it's been a long time since I've given an update on my mother in the nursing.
Please. And your sister.
And both, right. Well, in brief, my sister, Melanie, that had COVID in the hospital and so forth, she's been home and completely cleared.
Good.
She's in good shape.
Very good. Now, your mother?
My mom, the Lord has kept her alive and kicking and ornery for all of these past almost 2 years now that we put her in the home. But she's now entered a phase where, from a human standpoint looking at it, we think we're certainly near the end because she's sleeping now so much more. She sleeps more than she's awake now. So we've entered that phase and so forth. So my prayer for her is comfort,
peace, easy,
that sort of thing.
I tell you what, I appreciate the asking for the prayers we've had. I believe in the power of prayer, and that is just so wonderful. Yes, we'll be in prayer for Mom.
Okay,
very good. Yes.
So when I ask for prayer, we have Deani with us today. Most of y'all know Deani, so she loves when I point her out so much. So you guys love on Deani today. Give her big hugs today. I just want to pray for her and Clara, her grandma. She calls Mom, is her mom. Deani was in a wreck a little while ago, and she is fine. She was fine.
Oh, wow.
She's working hard at her job tomorrow. She's going to be saving money to get that fixed. So if y'all just pray for endurance and strength for her as she works that out. And just for Clara, for encouragement and her health.
Good.
And just, we're so thankful she's here today.
All right.
Just really excited.
We'll be in prayer. Very good. Any other? All right. Just a word as far as our missionary praying. I talked with John Hinch yesterday for some time in dealing with our missionary people in Mexico, Risley's. Courtney. Okay, now you know Courtney is a doctor trained in Mexico. Well, now she is no longer serving herself. You have to work for the government now. So she's worked for the government, and she does have to go in that place for the government. She has to go to houses and people, and everywhere she goes, she gives the gospel to lead them to Christ and to the Word of God. So that's good. Grady and his family are doing very well. They're feeding the people in two different eating up things, and then he has about 12 people just living at their house. They don't have anywhere else to live, so they live at their house. And his son, his name is Reagan, is now serving the Lord, working there also. So let's be in prayer for them at this time. And I
was just going to say, pray for protection because they're near the drug cartel.
Oh.
They're right in the midst of it. So, they would love to get a doctor and use her for their people that's all shot up. But just pray that for God's protection on them.
It is very difficult, very dangerous where they serve right now. So please be in prayer for them. And I'm going to meet with some of the men here, some people. We're going to set up an offering and a vote of sending a certain amount of money each month for the serving of missionaries. So we'll be taking on that. All right, any other? All right. Now, in order to send some finances to help missionaries in America, out of America, takes money. So this is the offertory. This is your opportunity to support the teaching of the Word of God, spreading of the gospel of Christ, and spreading of Bible doctrine. Not just the gospel, but also how to learn about the Word of God. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offering. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is in the short time we have on earth to have a part of the spreading of the gospel, to tell others of Jesus Christ, His work on the cross, His resurrection, His coming again. We pray, Father, that You continue to give us that opportunity to do this. So, Father, we pray You receive the offerings that we're about to give. Use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, our Savior and friend, Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, does everyone have a copy of the printout? The Greatness of the Power of God. The Greatness of the Power of God. Now, I got to tell you something. This is a difficult one for me because we could spend the rest of the year and into next year on the power of God. But we'll just note a few things and then move on in our study of this passage. So let's begin with the word of prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, will open our eyes dealing with the power of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the work of Jesus Christ, His coming to earth, His dying on the cross, His raising out of the dead, returning home. And now, Heavenly Father, He continues to pray for us. So, Father, we pray now as we study God, study Jesus Christ, the power of God. Pray, Father, that we will be encouraged in our own lives every day in our relationship with Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. All right, in verses 19 to 20, now we're going to look at verse 18, but verses 19 and 20 is the continued apostolic prayer from Paul for the believers in Ephesus. Growth in the person of Jesus Christ and in the plan of God. Now what we're going to do first is read the verses 18, 19, and 20, and then get to work on knowing them. Verse 18, I pray, this is Paul praying now, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that, I love that phrase, so that, to the entire Word of God. Whenever He's given, and it says so that, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to this in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power. Now, all three of these is why he is praying, so that you will learn and know about what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and then in verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, this refers to the Ephesians, but of course it applies to all of us today. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we have three questions in verses 18 and 19. Three questions. Each of the questions center on Jesus Christ. So, if you want to learn some things about Jesus Christ, learn these questions to these questions, the answers to these questions. Ephesians chapter 1 answers a great deal about Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Three indirect questions will be asked. Here they are. First question: Was it so that you may know what is the confidence of his calling? First question is about the calling of Christ throughout human history. The second question was about inheritance of Christ. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? The second question is about the riches of the glory of his inheritance. The third interrogative pronoun is, what is the surpassing greatness of his power? This third question comes to in regard to the greatness of his power for us who believe. So here is our understanding, really, of ungrasping Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the one to control human history. You look at it now and you think, well, is he controlling, or has he gone somewhere else? People, he knows exactly what's going on and where he's headed for the rapture. So just relax. He is in control. The second one, Jesus Christ is the inheritance of human history. All human history is involved in this. And then third, Jesus Christ is the power of human history. So we have Jesus Christ is the one in control of human history. Jesus Christ is the inheritance of human history. Jesus Christ is the power of human history. Now, in fact, if you ever wonder about what or how God speaks concerning his Son, you will get an idea in verse 19 coming up. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? Now, in English, we have a lot of different words. We have some words as beautiful, magnificent, brilliant. In the Greek, we have the word hyperbole, defined in the Greek as surpass, excel, exceed. According to the Complete Biblical Library, one of the many of the lexicons that I have, this one is so good in regard to teaching things. This word is used some five times in the New Testament, and only five times in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians. In all five passages, the participle is used to describe the overwhelming greatness, the overwhelming greatness of some attribute or work of God. Let's look at it. There are five uses, so let's look at it. One, in 2 Corinthians 3:10, surpassing glory of his righteousness. Secondly, 2 Corinthians 9:14, of the surpassing grace of God. Then Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, the surpassing greatness of his power. Then Ephesians 2:7 coming up, the surpassing riches of his grace. And then in 3:19, the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. So we have the surpassing glory, surpassing grace, surpassing greatness, surpassing riches, surpassing knowledge. But now, we're going to look at one more word that excels these. It's dealing with the word power. I don't know if you think much about the power of God. I don't know if you do. But I hope that by the time we're through, you see how important it is to give thought every day to the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God. Things that are going on all over the world in the dealing with the governments, people, your own life, COVID-19, God is in control, and there's peace in that regard. Now, the Holy Spirit is putting together in Ephesians chapter 1:19 the word surpass or excel with the word megathos in the Greek. Megathos. Used only once by Paul. The word greatness used in the describing the power of God. Used only here in all of the New Testament. And it's used to describing the power of God. Surpassing greatness of his power. And what the surpassing greatness or overwhelming magnitude of his power. Speaking again about the power of God, here is God the Holy Spirit describing the power of God. Let me simply reveal to you something so important about your life, your own life. God has more power than all that is necessary, and he has used more power than you will ever need in your life. God has it. The Greek word refers to the power with full ability. That's what the word means, full ability to do everything he plans to do. To give you some of the fullness of the word, of this word, notice that Plato uses dunamis as the essence of existence, or in its proclaimed in classical Greek, creative power, or in the classical Greek, creative power of the cosmos as creating the world. This is found in the Complete Biblical Library. What the Holy Spirit is telling us here is the ultimate grace, unlimited grace of God's power. Unlimited. Now, the place to see this, there are many places throughout the whole Bible. Let's just grab one, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that most of us know. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. That's power. He works all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Two things involved. Loving and being part of His plan. We know. Alright. We're looking at Romans 8:28. Starts off, we know. Here's the secret of life. Knowing. This is why we have Bible study here. This is why I hope you'll come to Bible study. This is for the knowing of the Word of God. Now, knowing that all things. This refers to everything that happens in your life. Everything that happens in history. All things that happen are in His power. And then it says, all these things work together. Now, I'm trying to do two things here. One, deal with it in the text, but in your own individual life. This deals with your own life. Things in your own life work together. When you pass the years that I've unfortunately passed, but when you're young and going through life, there's so many things that happen, and you will learn. He's in powerful. He's in control. So here's the complete biblical library says that this good does not happen magically, simply because a believer claims to love God, but all things that come together for the image of Jesus Christ work together for good to glorify Jesus Christ, His plan, His purpose. To them, work together for them, for good, to them. This is where we come into it. This refers to believers in Jesus Christ who love God. Now, this is not talking about human love. Oh, I love Jesus, I love God. Not talking about that. This is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. He, when you walk in the Holy Spirit, He gives you this power to love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. Now you got two parts. One includes everybody that's a believer. But the first one is refers only to those who will walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. When you add the believer living in the Holy Spirit with adversity, God is the power for all things to work for good in His plan. And here is the great grace, the real grace for you, that no matter what the suffering is in your life, is because of a blessing, becomes a blessing to the Lord. From the Lord. So no matter what happens, what I'm saying here, no matter what happens is for a blessing from the Lord. It may be suffering, adversity, but it is a blessing. Now, the power of God. We are going to take a brief trip through the power of God. We could spend months and months on the power of God. You have to know His power in the multitude of things that happen through your life and how important His power is in your life, to your life, along with how important He is in history. So first of all, you have to know it in your own power, but also in history. All that is going on throughout the world today, He is in power. He is in authority. He is in control. It may not look that way to you, but you just rest there, peace. He is in control. He is going somewhere. That's the issue. Now, people, let me just let you know, some point, someday, God's going to say, that's enough. I've had enough. I've had enough of human sins, human violation of my plan. I've had enough. He did it once in history, called the great contrast of the flood of Noah flood. Then he just had had enough. And a flood wiped off the earth. Something's going to wipe it off again. It'll be the great rapture. He will come and he'll just take off the earth every person that believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. And then he will leave, we will start the tribulation on earth. But God has a plan. You have to know that. And he has the power to bring it to full the way. As America falls, always remember the power of God. God is more powerful than all the movement by Satan throughout the world. God has a plan for history, for the church age, for the tribulation, for the Armageddon, for the millennium. He has a plan. It will be fulfilled. We could start our study on the attributes of God, on the person of Jesus Christ, through history and so on. But let's start with an important verse in 2 Corinthians. You may not think about it very often, but I want you to look at it. 2 Corinthians 4:7. So the first thing we're going to look at for the power of God, the power of Christ, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, which says, but we, believers, have this treasure. Now I'll just jump ahead and tell you, that's your body. That's your body. Have this treasure in earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is your body. The treasure is the Holy Spirit. The treasure is the knowledge of the Word of God in you. Vessel. That, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Not any of yourselves. So let's look at this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's your body, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. So we can just relax and trust Him. We are but a jar of clay. That's all we are. A jar of clay. In fact, when we die, that's what we become. We turn back into this jar of clay. See? God's power surpasses our power. God takes our weakness and turns it around to His glory. If you will allow it, He will take whatever happens in your life of your flesh, turns into His glory. We are but a jar of earth into which God has poured His glorious light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We are but a container of God's power. We are but a container of God's power. He has carefully poured into it treasure. I want you to remember every day that God has set in you a treasure, inside of you, a treasure. Here is the great treasure God has set in you, His glory, His power. That is the treasure in you. We have the opportunity to share this glory however forever. And this is a precious treasure that we all have. Drawn from this treasure every day of your life, you should draw from this treasure. The treasure is the only true issue you've got. Don't worry about your money, your job, your house, your car, all these things, even how you look. That's not what's important. It's this treasure that's inside you. You can look as beautiful, look at a beautiful bottle of wine. I'm sorry I chose this, but that's what I wanted to pick for. I go down to Bordeaux in France, get a bottle that cost, now I think it's around $2,000 for one bottle. $2,000 for one bottle. See? You look at that bottle. Now, I happen to like the way it looks with the picture painting on it. But it's not that. It's what's inside of it. It's that wine. It's that wine. And when you take it, taste it, it is beautiful. Beautiful. You don't just rub it down. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. Because it is rich. And the same is true of a lady may be beautiful. A man may be handsome. But the true issue is the treasure that's inside of them. Who and what they are. That's the treasure. That's it. And God has placed the treasure of Christ in fragile jars of clay. That's us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our hearts are but jar of clay. It is God who has poured into that clay the valuable treasure that's inside of us. Now that's just point one. Now point two. The power of God is the power that defeats Satan. First of all, the power of God is the power to pour into your body the glory of Him. Secondly, now, to defeat the Satan. He has the power to defeat Satan. I hope you've never become discouraged in this world, because Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Now, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched, this is God, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions. That talks about things on this earth. And authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, this is what's beautiful. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Think about it. I've been told, these men that he's talking to here, I've been told, I can walk on anywhere I want. He's not going to hurt me. I'm going to be that strong. Don't boast of that. That's not the rejoice of this. That the Spirit are subject to you, but rejoice over this. Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. I hope you know your name is recorded in heaven. Yes.
At the very beginning of the passage, who are these 72?
Servants of that is sent out by Jesus Christ. Okay. They're like disciples.
Okay.
Okay. Now, John 16:33, another powerful verse. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. We have nothing to be concerned over with people. Whatever happens in America, whatever happens in France, in Europe, in Africa, India, anywhere in the world, the Middle East, doesn't matter. He is in control. He is more powerful. Now let's look at Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, this is talking about Jesus Christ, talking about the humans on earth, he himself, Jesus Christ, likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So we've already had two powers of God. The power to put into you the glory of his power, and the power to defeat Satan. Now the third, God is so powerful to bring salvation. Let us share a short line in Greek with you. Well, let's just forget that one. That's dealing with the Greek. And I see what time we're going to have for communion. So here we have God's power can bring us to salvation. God can bring salvation to all of us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not, this is Paul speaking, but it applies to us. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes. Not to everyone, but to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. From faith to faith talks about from faith, that's our salvation faith, and to faith is a faith to live the Christian life in faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pay close attention to the fact that the power of God is for everyone who believes. The power of God is for everyone who believes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live. There are some very, what we'll call, poor people living in India, living in Africa, that would put our poverty to shame here. The poor people in America have more than most people in poor countries around the world. And yet, this passage tells us they have the power of eternal life, power of salvation. Pay close attention to the fact that the power of God is for everyone who believes. God's surpassing power is for us all who believe. Not because you are intelligent, are successful, and prayerful, and learn a great deal of Bible doctrine, all of this. No, it's simply because you believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, God's exceeding power is available in you. Now we'll go to the fourth one. The power of God is in His Word. It defeats Satan. It pours the power into out of us. It brings salvation. Now it says the power of God is in His Word. This is why we have clear class here at this church. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What the Word of God is that powerful. The Greek word for active means effective or powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So if you desire something in your life that is powerful, learn the Word of God. 5. The power of God is more powerful than death. Now, every one of us will come to the point of death outside of that group that will go up in the rapture. This is more powerful than death. Please never fear death. Your own death or the death of someone that you may love them that are believers. Have peace in your soul, for Jesus Christ is more powerful than death. I feel pressed to say something, though. What about those that we know that do not know Christ? What about their death? I want you to remember one thing about their death. Christ died for them. Christ came and died for them. They may have rejected Him, but I want you to think about Christ died for them. All right, now, point 5. So, the power of God is more powerful than death. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. But God raised Him from the dead, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in its power. The power of Christ is greater than the power of death. So, never fear death. 6. God's power is greater and surpasses all human power. Always remember that every human power has limits. But God's power is limitless. His power always surpasses any and all of the powers here on earth. 7. In science or in history, power is determined by the things that power can and cannot do. The Word of God declares God can do all things. But add to that Luke chapter 1, verse 37, which declares, for nothing will be impossible with God. God can do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. But I got one more for you. Look down at Job. Job 42:1. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Nothing in your plan, in your life, can be thwarted. Please allow this to give you peace in your soul, as it gave to Job. Another wonderful comfort of verse is Philippians chapter 4, 13. Now we come to you. Can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God can do all things. There is nothing impossible for Him to do, but you can do all things through him in you. And it is in you. Remember that. That was the first one I studied. Build out of this into you in the jar that your life, your body was put in the power of God. In answer to the important question, Jesus replied, with people, this is possible. Salvation is impossible for people. But with God, all things are possible. But the way, the only state of the United States, I love this, the only state in the United States whose state motto is directly taken from the Bible. I'm sorry it's not Texas, but it isn't. It's Ohio. And their motto is, with God, all things are possible. I wonder if they know that. I wonder if anyone in Ohio believes it and lives it. The Holy Spirit is how the believer receives the power of God. In Acts 2:38, Peter tells us how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving the power by faith. Then in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. 9, the power of God is greater than all of the power throughout the earth for all history. Let me repeat that. The power of God is greater than all the power throughout the world, all history. And, you know, I could talk about the outside of the world and all of that, but let's just stay in the world right now. Because it's greater than the outside of the world. God is far above all the power, our rule, our authority on earth. If we slowly study the resurrection, the ascension, and the session of Jesus Christ, we will see that he is more powerful than the three major powers on earth, under the earth, on the earth, and the third in the air. Let's take a look at it. The first was under the earth. That's his resurrection, where the first power force was to overcome, and that was his death. Then on the second one, which is on the earth, is more greater than the gravity by leaving the earth and going to heaven. And then the third power is the authority of the air. This is the power of God as he goes through the air over the authorities of the air. So he is more powerful than the three segments of power on earth. After his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ overcame death. Acts 13:20, but God raised him from the dead. After his resurrection, after his resurrection, he overcame the power of gravity of earth, and then went to be at the seated at the right hand of God, overpowered the power in the air. The most wonderful point for every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior is that we will be raised up by the same power. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. He has raised up Jesus Christ. He will raise us up. These are just unbelievable segments of power in this short look that we're looking at. Now let's look at Job 26:7-8. He stretches out the north over the empty space, and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, and the cloud does not burst under them. And then you could go on and read Job 26, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, and 13 and 14. But let's go to 10. Let's go to the 10th one. There are many verses throughout the Bible that gives us confidence and peace by the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ. We have seen that He's over death, so we don't have to worry about that. We've got salvation taken care of. Let's look at some of the things here. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. You know what that is? That's a promise. You're not going to go through the rapture. You're not going through the rapture. You've been promised. You're not going through it. From the wrath to come. We have peace. Continuing. We have peace above the power of God in regard to our being taken up from the tribulation. You don't go through it. Don't let anyone kid you with that. You don't go through it. There's some people now teaching, well, some Christians will go through it, all kinds of different type of things. You go through it. That's as powerful He is. Exodus 14. The Lord will fight for you. Now listen to this. And you only have to be silent. Just be silent. Let Him work for you. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 2 Chronicles 26. He said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Jeremiah 10:20. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. Do you see the three things? Made the earth by His power, by His wisdom, by His understanding. That's knowing your God, what He's worth. Verse 13, when He utters His voice, there is roar of waters in the heavens, and He makes the clouds ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouse. Matthew 22:29. But Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, since you do not understand. Now listen, why are they mistaken? You do not understand the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said to them, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God, talking, of course, to Mary. And then closing in Hebrews and in 1 Corinthians, Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. And closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us right here in this room who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we will continue this study next Sunday. Now let's close. Get ready for our communion. Okay. I wonder what you're thinking and what your earliest memories are of communion. Do you know, do you remember yours? I remember mine. Do you remember yours? Anybody want to give you? I'll tell you mine. Who will tell me theirs? Yes, good. Thank you.
About the outfit and the new shoes.
Do I?
I was so excited because I got a brand new... My sister is like 18 months older than I am. And so always I had my clothes up until that point. But when I hit 7 years old, I was a little bit taller. So I got my own dress and my own shoes. I still remember that picture and I got my own...
So at your communion service, God blessed you. Very good. Anybody else? I remember mine. I was a young one, same in the large church, the home church. And then at the time when I was 7, believed in Jesus Christ, I got to have my first communion. And it was just so beautiful taking that communion service. And I remember a few other things. But my first one that was really hitting to me was my first one in the military. It was my first time to be away from the church or somewhere like that for communion, and had it in the military, and it was just really wonderful. And then I remember my first one after the military and went home. And then over the years, there have been some wonderful days of communion and then some very rough days of communion. So I wonder what you think about taking communion. What do you think when you're taking it? When we stand, take these elements in a few minutes, what do you think about? What do you desire your relationship with Jesus Christ to be like as you partake of the communion? What's in your soul about it? How has your experience of the Lord's Supper changed over the years? Has anyone's changed? Mine really hasn't changed. But, yes.
Well, I grew up Catholic.
In
convent school. So we had Missa or Mass in American English every day in the morning. Mm-hmm. I went through the routine and started asking a lot of questions. And at one time, I literally just went, just go do nothing. Just try some of the things like Buddhism and see what they are. And then the second time around, when I actually got to the United States with my parents and then start going to the real church, as in church that the Word of God. And that first time, that was at Friendship Baptist Church over in Owasso. I remember crying because it means very differently when you click that it's no longer a routine. It really means something to you.
Beautiful.
That, you know, it's a symbol now. It's not just a routine.
Beautiful. Good. Beautiful. Anyone? Yes.
I just wanted to share, Bill, at Flame Camp started doing communion with our high schoolers, and that has been a powerful thing for me and all those kids. We end Flame Camp with Bill. Bill, I would love you to share how you do it, if you don't mind a little bit, or do you want me to just tell my perspective on it?
Go ahead.
Okay. So what Phil does with communion, he breaks up the crackers with the kids, you know, before we're leaving our high school leadership retreat. And Phil tells all the kids, you know, his grandmother gave him the gospel. You know, like, Herman, you talk about your mom. And there were missionaries when I was 7 on our street that just had kids on the street come to their house. And it wasn't until I was older I realized that's why I know the books of the Bible. That was my first introduction, really, to the Word of God. But still,
that's got to be a beautiful memory.
Oh, and just when that came to me, how God puts people in your life, you don't even realize, you know, these seeds. But so fill out the kids to think about who shared the gospel with you, who loved you enough to share the gospel with you and break the crackers. And then he asked the kids each to pass, and you share to the person next to you to share the cracker.
Wow.
But the gospel being shared, we share it with one another. And then when we do the juice with all the kids, you have to come get that yourself, because you have to believe yourself, you know, for your salvation and for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The power of the Holy Spirit. So, Phil, that has changed for me. God has used you for those kids and for us. I know for me.
Beautiful.
That is just, what God has done is our life in communion with one another and with Jesus Christ.
That's great. Thank you. That's very good. Anyone else? Huh? It's just wonderful to have it. Let's see. Is any aspect of communion more important to you than any other part of it? I don't think so either. So, I had some other questions, but we'll just pass them up for another time. But I hope when you take communion, you think about what you're doing. Think about what the bread is for. Think about what the cup is for. What's it about? One of the most beautiful phrases in the taking of Paul's to us in 1 Corinthians 11 are the words, this is my body, which is for you. For you. It's personal. It's personal. It's for you. Don't ever forget that. And think about that. It's just for me. You got your parents, your husband, your wife, children, people. No, it's for you. This is yours to take the communion and think of him in that regard. So with that in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the taking of the communion service. Father, each of us have memories of our own communion. To slow down, to pray, and to think of the first communion by Jesus Christ and 11 disciples, to believers in the first century, right up to today, who have the privilege take the offering of the communion service. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. Now, there just are not that many. Some people, some churches, denominations have a lot involved in communion. But if you study the Bible, there isn't that much as far as any kind of rule. Who can serve it? You can't say that only a pastor, a reverend, say something like that. No. So what you're saying there is, okay, I believe that those are the only ones that can do it. That means take women in a prison, they can't do communion. They don't have one. See? So that isn't going to work. There are no rules who can offer. And there's so many different things that people want to come across. There are things you want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll study that as we go through this. Each Sunday of communion, I'm going to do something special. We're dealing with the communion. And we'll talk about how you got to be in the Holy Spirit to take communion. But it's our time to just stop, think, concentrate for you. It's about you. You. You and Jesus Christ. not you and anyone else, you, what he's done for you, what he did for you. That's what this is about. So our custom, and we don't have very many, one is, and it's not a rule, we're going to have the bread and then later the cup. When we pass, we ask that everyone hold them till everyone is there, so that we partake together when we partake of it. But we don't have to. We could take it just as soon as we pass. I've taken communion where you would take it as they passed it. See? So that's fine. There are rules to it like that. So it's our custom that everyone hold the cup, hold the bread, till everyone has taken it, and then we will partake of it together. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "For I, Paul, received from the Lord, from Jesus Christ," Christ is already resurrected, ascended into heaven, but he came down to Paul and his teaching, "I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," this is after Passover, "given thanks, he broke it. And said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served. Thank you. As you hold the cup, I'm going to ask you if you please stand. Continue reading. "In the same way, he," Jesus Christ, "took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And now if you'll take your hymnals and hymn number
352. I am thine, O Lord.
Thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw nearer, 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 blessed Lord, Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Come nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, Thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before Thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with Thee, my God, I commune with faith as friend. Come nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Come nearer, 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 blessed Lord, precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Come nearer, dear blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Come nearer, 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 blessed Lord, precious bleeding side.
Let's close in a word of prayer, and we invite everyone to stay and have fellowship and eat with us and spend some time. My friend Tish used to call this gossip time, but it really isn't. It's a good time to just relax, talk with each other. So let's pray and get ready to spend some time together. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at Your power. We stand overwhelmed at Your power. That we have nothing to be fearful, nothing to be grateful about. You are in total, complete control. So, Father, we are so thankful for Your word to give us this assurance. We thank You for our time together in this communion service, spending time thinking about Jesus Christ and what He did for us, each one of us individually. And now, Father, we pray for the food we're about to take. So set these things apart to Your glory. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.